to the Victory Harvest Podcast.
I am accustomed to talking to them and not so many adults. So bear with me if I fumble a little. But I am Lori Johnson. If you don't know who I am, my husband Paul and I are the children's pastors. So most of you, if you don't have kids on kids, you may not know who I am. Unless you see me up here in funny costumes, doing silly skits, asking for money or volunteers. I'm not doing either of those things this morning. So I do have something. As we have worked the last several weeks on this Christmas play, the Lord really impressed some things that I felt he wanted me to share. So I asked Brother Terry if I could please take his pulpit from him for the second week in a row. He didn't have it last week, and he did have something he wanted to share, but he graciously allowed me to have some time. And for that, I am thankful. We have a very great pastor. He and Brother Kenny, wherever he is — he's normally here and I don't see him — but wherever he is, they're great to work for. Hope you guys caught the message there. Hank Olson, Henry Olson, the janitor — he started out as a janitor ultimately, but the kids picked up the time machine, went back to 1944 when Hank was just a small lad, picked him up, brought him back to the manger, and he had an experience with Jesus. And that experience changed his future. And when he came back, he realized that Hank Olson was now Henry Olson, the pastor. All because he had an encounter at the manger. And if we ever have an experience with Jesus, your life and future will ultimately be changed. Just know that. I'm going to start with you this morning talking about the past. I'm going to read a scripture to you. And Miss Donna Dearman put together a slideshow. And I am so not good with following it sometimes. So if I'm skipping it or something, it's not Donna's fault. It's mine. So just know that. My title is It's About Time. And that's what I'm talking about. I'm going back to time. That's what we're going to talk about this morning. Isaiah 43, 18 through 20 says this in the New International Version. She has a different version, I think, behind me. But I kind of changed on her in the middle of the night. So this is what it says. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the desert and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen. Verse 21 goes on to say, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning thankful for that very first Christmas, Father, that we now have a way that we can enter into heaven one day. Father, help us this morning to hear this message. Receive it, Father, and use it, Lord. Let it change us, Father, so that we can serve you the rest of whatever time we have left. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, the past. I like the past. Some more so than others. I like watching old shows. The Brady Bunch. I like that. The Nanny. I like that. Andy Griffith. I like that. My dad and I, he used to watch Andy Griffith all the time. By the way, my parents are here this morning. Thanks for being here with us. So are Paul's grandmother and his aunt. So we're very honored to have them with us this morning. But my dad used to watch Andy Griffith a lot. That was, you know, his evening when he came home, he'd eat and watch. So I still like that today. I like to watch it. Every now and then I'll click on it. I like the 80s. The 80s were a good decade for me. A lot of things happened in the 80s in my life. I became a teenager, went through some awkward years, but then I entered high school and graduated. I met my future husband in the 80s. I became an aunt for the first time in the 80s. I got engaged in the 80s. It was a great time of my life, so I like it. I like to listen to the 80s music. Don't judge me. You would like it too if you had lived it. So, just saying. It's probably my favorite out of all of them was the 80s because I lived it. And even today, I guess I'll admit, there are days when my family would back me up. I will lock myself literally in the bathroom with 80s music. I know, you're like, she listens. Yeah, I do occasionally listen to 80s music. Don't judge me because you can't enter the kingdom of heaven if you judge. So, just say, I do. Every now and then I'll flip it on. And you know what I do? I get the hairbrush and I stand in the mirror and I'm like, I am the decade, dude. I am it in the 80s, okay? And I'm hip. Everybody in the 80s liked me because I said they did. So, that's me. I like it. I liked the 80s. And you, there's decades that some of you guys like. You might like the 40s. You might like the 50s. I don't know where you stand, but the decades mean stuff to us. The past means stuff to us. And there's a word that the Brazilian people use. I will probably butcher today, but it's called sedoches. Yeah, see, the Brazilian people are laughing at me in here. Them, that word. You heard that word right there. It's used to describe, it's very hard to translate in the English language, but it's used to describe the wistful, almost sad feelings you have about happy memories. You can have that word for a place such as home or a special time in your life, such as the days of your youth. I have a bad habit sometimes of taking that journey in my past. Sometimes it can render you very ineffective today, though, when you go in the past. We have to be careful with those things. I sometimes will go to the past where I have a lot of regrets. Things that I didn't do, things that I should have done. Maybe I should have spent more time here. Maybe I shouldn't have said that. Maybe I should have done this with my life. Maybe I shouldn't have done that. Sometimes I spend too much time on that part of my past. That can render you almost ineffective, even more so than just remembering the past. Psychologists will tell you there's two mental laws that contribute heavily to whether you're happy or sad. The first one is the law of concentration. The second one is the law of substitution. The law of concentration states this: whatever we dwell upon grows in our life experience. Whatever we think about on a continual basis becomes part of us. Yeah, you become what you think. Good or bad. That's what you do. What you dwell on is what you become. The law of substitution states this: our conscious mind can only hold one thought at a time. Doesn't matter if it's negative or positive. It can only hold one at a time. So saying all that to say this, you can choose to substitute the negative thoughts for positive thoughts, if you will. Proverbs 23:7 says this: for as one thinks in his heart, so is he. Even Jesus realized that law of substitution. If you find yourself to be perhaps a crabby, old, negative person, maybe it's because you have been eating crabby, old, negative junk. If you bake a cake and you don't like the way it tastes, you can blame your oven all day long. It's not going to change the next cake. What's going to change the next cake is the recipe. If you want to change your life, you can blame your circumstances all day long, but it's not going to change it. What's going to change your life is changing the recipe. What are you following? Where are you going with your life? Missed opportunities can hurt us if we let them. The papers reported this funny story several years back. A man over in Europe, he had bought a lottery ticket, and he won. He won the lottery, but he didn't realize it because it was the day of his daughter's wedding that they drew the lottery numbers. And in the busyness of the day and the aftermath that comes from a wedding, he forgot. When he picked up his ticket and brought it to turn it in, it was too late. The deadline had passed. He did not get his €66 million. Can you imagine the devastation and grief that that man felt? He had a winning ticket that could have changed his life. He just passed the deadline of turning it in. Yes, it did land him in the hospital with depression, I'm sure. But we too can pass that deadline if we don't claim our ticket. And we can miss a jackpot. Although yours and mine maybe don't amount to a $66 million jackpot, ours can be much greater if we fail to turn it in. In Isaiah 43, God speaks to people and he tells us to avoid living that tragedy. He tells us like this: let go of the things of yesterday and begin focusing on what God is doing in your life today and tomorrow. Our camp slogan this year that we took our kids to was, today is yesterday's tomorrow. Today is yesterday's tomorrow. I'm going to go through 3 points with you. And I don't even know what time it is, but I'm going to try to go pretty quick. The first one is this: change your address or move. Just get out. Isaiah 43:18. Remember when we just said that one, and it tells you, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. Move. Get out of there. Visit it. Don't live there. Remember, God said, a couple chapters over from that, he says, remember the things of the past. So he's not telling us we can't visit it. Visit it. Enjoy it. Like yourself in your bathroom. Sing, I don't care. Dance if you want to dance. If you want to be a poodle, skirt girl, beer. But just don't live there. Take that costume off and get back to today. Because that's where we need to be. I'm not saying don't appreciate it. I'm just saying don't live there. So I'll challenge you. Don't live there. Move. Change your address. Sometimes we maybe feel like the best days of our life are behind us. That's a lie that the enemy will give you. Don't believe that. Instead, place your hopes on this vital truth. When you live in God, the best is always yet to come. And our God is not a God of yesterday. He's a God of today. Do you remember the story of Moses and the burning bush? Moses was out in the desert tending to some sheep, and he walks up on this mountain, and there's this bush on fire, and it's burning, but it's not consumed. Okay, I'm running. If I run up to a bush that then speaks to me, I'm gone. Okay, but Moses stayed around to hear what the bush had to say. He was a wise man. But a voice from that bush said this: I am the God of your father. The God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. And he then tells Moses, lead the people out. Get them out of bondage. Moses is like, dude, what if I tell them, this bush said this to me. Your father said this to me. And they're going to ask me, well, what is his name? What do you want me to say? And God said to him, say, I am sent me to you. I am is an all-encompassing word. It's a blanket word. It's not a yesterday word. I am is the future. I am sent me to you. Get out of the past. Visit it. Don't live there. The second point is this: learn to squint when you need to squint. Yeah, I know you're like, huh? Squint, with your eyes. Squint. On occasion, I'll notice Lauren, she wears glasses, and when her glasses need adjusting, she'll start squinting to see things far away. And if you squint, my parents used to say when we'd put the tree up and you turn on the lights, everybody would squint to see if all the lights were right in the tree because you can see it better. The reason you see better when you squint is for four reasons. You stop, you stare, you focus, and you concentrate. And in our spiritual life, if we learn to squint, stop, stare, focus, and concentrate on what God said, we might be able to see a little clearer what's happening down the road. Sometimes we're too quick to move on and forget what God says. God, I have no doubt in saying this. God is involved in the life of every person here. He's involved in your life today. You might not know it, but he's involved. That's the sad thing. Everybody don't perceive that God's in their life. Not everybody can see the hand of God in all the details. I didn't for a long time. Paul and I were at a church before we came here. We were involved heavily with the youth. Became extremely good friends with the youth pastor. And I will never forget the day Paul was out of town on a business trip and I was in the kitchen working. We had a youth event that night. And I'm in there working and service is going on. Our youth pastor's preaching because it's a youth service. And his wife comes to me in the kitchen. She says, Lori, I need to talk. Okay. And I walk out with her. She says, Kevin and I are leaving. Where are you going? Well, we're leaving the church. You're leaving the what? We're leaving the church. I was like, okay, I can deal with this. You know, I'll have time. When are you leaving? Next week. Guys, my heart broke right there. They had become family. I spent more time with them than I spent with my parents, which is sad to say. They had become my family, and now they were telling me in 1 week they were going to be gone, moving to a different state. Sadly, in the next 2 weeks, our senior pastor left. He followed. They went to the same church. Our church was torn apart. The elders approached Paul and myself, and they asked if we would take over the youth, if we'd go over the youth. Sure. I mean, those kids were a part of our life at that point. Yeah, we'll be a part of the youth. Little did I know that would be the start of our ministry today. I didn't see God's hand in that. I had a lot of questions. Why would you do this? I'm serving. I'm doing what you call me to do. Why would you tear me apart like this, God? I didn't squint to see the future. We have to remember to squint and see what happens. It's no secret. I'm almost getting done with you guys. It's no secret I like football. I probably have said that 14,000 times to you. But it amazes me people in this room don't like it. They look at it. They don't understand it. And it's just craziness. They don't understand. And I look at it and I'm like, every snap of that ball is a different battle. It's one team trying to outthink the other. There is more strategy in one quarter of a football game than many businesses would put into their whole entire business for a year. People don't see it. That's the perception part of it. Some people look and they're like, it's just a bunch of men on the field throwing a ball, and if they happen to catch it, great. They don't realize these are planned plays. These are things that were planned beforehand. Art. I'm terrible with art. I'll tell you. I'll look at this next picture she's got coming up, and I'm like, dude, my kid could have done that when he was 4 years old, finger painting. That's a masterpiece, guys. People pay thousands of dollars for that piece of art. I could have done that, and I don't pay. I could have done. People, I don't see anything in that except flatter. But that's priceless art to some people, and they'll hang it above their fireplace and be very proud to own it. So, squint. The third point is this. Extreme makeovers. I like that show. I like to watch it. There's two different versions. A house version, they take this old rundown piece of junk of a house that people live in. It's unhealthy for some of them. And they'll turn it into a beautiful palace. They'll go in, gut it, tear it. I mean, they'll just make it. Yeah. See? It's beautiful, isn't it? They will make something beautiful out of nothing. And that exactly, my friends, is what God wants to do. In Isaiah 43:20, he says, I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. Some of you here today maybe are living in that desert. Your life has become a dumping ground. Maybe you're saying, God, take me away. Just get me out of here. Bring me to greener pastures. Just give me a new life. I'm tired of this junk. I'm telling you, stop looking for greener pastures. Start looking for the oasis that he's built in your desert. God wants to create that stream if you'll let him. They also take people on that TV show, and they'll take unkempt, missing teeth, straggly hair people, and in 30 minutes, they're like movie stars. I know the process is a little longer, but they're come out and it's like, oh my gosh, could you do that with me? How did they get that girl from that to this? I mean, it's amazing. But that is exactly, my friends, what God wants to do with you. See, he wants to take our faults. He wants to take our failures and turn them into success, to turn them into strength. Don't always look for a way of escape. Look for a way of victory. When you live with that expectation, the desire to live in the past becomes a thing of the past. When your life becomes about what God is doing, you begin to get excited and filled with anticipation on what is coming next. The past will lose its appeal. Let me close with Nick. With this. If Nick could just come up real quickly behind me. God's challenging you to take a journey through time, not into the past, guys, but out of it. Stop dwelling or living in the past. Start focusing on what God's doing in your life today and tomorrow. Don't be fooled by the desert that you're in. God is at work in your life through everything. I'll never forget this story. My dad's brother, he had gotten very sick. Had throat cancer. He had real bad circulation problems. And for years, I always knew he was somebody you could just count on him. But with the busyness of my schedule, I didn't see much. The last 2 years of his life, he passed away about a year and a half ago. The last couple of years of his life, I was able to get close to him. And one day, the last year, he was in the hospital more than he wasn't. And the Lord impressed on me one day, bring him a Bible. He wasn't a church-going guy. He was a worldly guy. And I thought, Lord, are you sure you want, bring him a Bible. So we stopped and I brought him a Bible. I wrote in it, gave him some scripture. When I got there, the hospital that day, he was asleep. So I just left it on his tray. I didn't want to disturb him. He called me later. He said, you came by, why didn't you wake me? I said, oh, you were resting. He said, you brought me a Bible? I said, yeah, I did. He said, you're probably the only one that thinks I ever have a shot. My response was, Ralph, you still have a breath in your body? Of course you got a shot. Before he passed, he did accept Jesus. I was able to witness that, and I have no doubt today that he sits at the throne with my Savior. Not because of me, but because I squinted and listened to what God said. Doesn't matter if you live in the world now. It matters what you do with the rest of your life. Some of us sometimes think that perhaps we've done too much, or maybe we've not done enough. God just wants you. He wants all of you. Our time is limited. We found that out about 6-7 weeks ago when we lost two very dear precious men. Mr. Ken, very suddenly, and Mr. Ralph, who we missed dearly during our Christmas. He was our sound guy for years. We've missed him. Lost them tragically. Both men, thankfully, were ready for when that last breath hit them. But are you? Because you don't know. I don't know. None of us know when we're not going to make it back in these doors or the opportunity to make it to a church. Anywhere. It's a free gift that God brought to us. He sent it down. But are you willing to take it? This is where it gets hard. You have to take that coat of pride and leave it in that seat. And you have to be willing to say, I'll accept you. Because, guys, it doesn't matter how much money you give. It doesn't matter how many church services you attend. It doesn't matter how many times or how many Bibles you have. What matters when you get to that gate is if God says, yes, I know you, come on in. If he doesn't know you, my friend, he's going to say, depart from me. I don't know you. You're not invited in. Will you be invited? Just like to leave you with this. If you're here this morning and you say, Lori, that's me. I want to experience God for myself. I don't want to go off of what you're telling me. I don't want to live off of what Brother Terry's experiences. I don't want what Brother Kenny had. I want what I am supposed to have. You can have it. All you have to do is say, Jesus, I want you and I need you. It's that simple. It's nothing hard. It's that simple, guys. Maybe you're stuck in that desert and you need a way out. It's easy, guys. Squint. Squint and see the hand of God that's moving over your life. If you'll bow your heads right now. Just want to give you the chance before you leave. Like I said, I don't know and you don't know the day or the hour, the time, the place. But I know one day it will happen, ultimately to all of us. unless the Lord returns first. Either way, you got to make a choice. And you make that choice today. And it's easy. If you're here and you just want to slip your hand up and say, you know, I want to make that decision. I just want you to pray for me. I want to make that decision today. If that's you, just slip your hand up across here and we'll pray for you. We're not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to make you dance or take you to the back room. I'm not going to do anything. If you just want to experience God for yourself, slip your hand up wherever you're at. If you're here and you say, you know, Lori, I am in the desert. I'm in the desert and I need that oasis that God spoke about. I just need you to pray, Lord, that I would be able to find it. If that's you, slip your hand up. Okay. God will come like a thief in the night, in the blink of an eye. Are you ready? Father, we thank you for this day. Father, we thank you for this time. Father, thank you for the now that you've given us. Thank you for the future and a hope. Father, we give everything we have to you. Lord, I pray that the words that were spoken, Father, would linger for weeks in the minds and the hearts, Father, of all that are here. Lord, I thank you. I love you for pulling me out and inviting me in. I love you, Jesus, and in your name I pray. Everyone said, amen. Amen. Guys, I appreciate you guys listening. I have no idea what time it is. Normally, I would have my cell phone. So you may have missed the Piccadilly Rush. I don't know. But you didn't miss the invitation. That's the important thing. So we will, if you are a parent, we'll let you guys get your kids. If you want to take pictures on the scene, you're welcome to come do that right now. If you'll just make your way up here, find your child, and you can take pictures, whatever you want to do. Have a great week.